Holding here is Simon Yod. Talis Shein Arbakanfas Petura. So the Mechaber paskins that if you only have three corners, you're Pater. It's Pasuk, Arbakanfas Ksuscha. But the Mechaber is Mechadesh, Yeshla Yosemi Arbakayeves. If you have five corners, so you are Chayev. Where do you put them? You can't put on five, that would be Baltosif. So you take the four furthest corners, so if you have a picture like this, so these are four corners that are meruchak. Well, actually, it'd be hard to know what's meruchak in that case, but let's say like this. So these are the four corners that are meruchak azumizu. So if, okay, again, try better if I drew it like this. So one, two. Okay, exactly. Fine. Now, there's actually a machlokas we've shown about this. What's halacha when you have more than four corners or five corners? So, lechatchila we try to avoid this. It's better to try to agel one of the pinos. That's from the Shabura Paskins. Just, you know, get rid of one of the corners and make it four. But if you have a bag that's five corners, so we assume you are chayev, and you just put them in the four furthest. You have to figure it out, which is the four furthest corners. Okay. Beis yishva arba v'chatach echad v'alachson v'aso shnayim hariz nasis balas chamesh v'chayeves. So if you have a four corner karmet that you want to pass from tzitzis, so it doesn't help to just cut off one of the corners. But if you have a four corner garment like this, you cut off a corner. So now you have five corners, right? You have to pater, you have to actually make it a circle. Then you would be pater. And then you have three corners. But if you just, like, on a arbitrarily, like, kind of make a line, cut it down, cut it straight across, you'd have five corners, and still be chayev, according to many Rishon, according to Pesach and Mechaber. People who wear a frock is like goes up halfway, and so even more than halfway possibly. So they round one of the corners in the back, you know, to avoid the chiyuv tzitzis. Gimel, kafal karnos taliso kashram otafram vidome ilu kitzon en lakanfas afichen lo niftra. So if you have a four corner garment and you just kind of like, you know, wrap it up and like stitch a few stitches in, but you're planning on taking it out again, that doesn't pater you from the chiyuv garment. If you intentionally, you know, get rid of the corner, then you're pater. But if you just roll it up and make a few tefiros, that's not significant enough. It's still considered a four corner garment, and you're still chayev. Fine. Dalet talish al beged uknafeh shel or chayev. We mentioned last time that you're chayev on things that are arig, things that are, you know, either made of tzemer or pishtan, or maybe any fibers according to any natural fibers according to the Rama discussion about synthetic fibers. But things that are or, that's pater. Things that don't have any ariga to them. So,
leather
is an example of that. So, a leather bag is pater. But what is a leather bag? Listen to the bag, it is made out of cotton, and the corners are leather. Then the baguette is chayiv, because the baguette is with ikur baguette. Vice versa, if the whole baguette is made out of leather and the corners are cotton, you're still pater, because the baguette is what covers your body, not the corners. Most of us, on the regular talesim, the baguette is made out of wool, and they have these corners, that's just like to strengthen it. Those corners made out of cotton, that's just to strengthen it, but the corners aren't the mechayiv. Mechayiv is what's made out of the baguette. Usually what they do is like they double it up. The regular baguette continues straight to the bottom, and then in the back or in the front they put on like an extra piece, an extra layer.
That could be any material.
Yeah. Even if it was or, you'd be chayev because okay. If you have two layers, let's say the baguette is like, I once had a poncho like this. The poncho, the bottom was plastic, the outside was like a material. So if you have a poncho that's made of just plastic, so we assume usually that you're pater, it's like ore. There isn't a debate about that, especially a din or, but anything that's not arig. Anything that's not arig, a poncho is pater, plastic poncho is pater. But this pot, it was a fancy poncho, the outside was material, the inside was plastic. So there's a question, do you go based on the inside of the baguette, it's plastic, or you go based on the outside of the baguette, thank you, that's made out of material. So the pashtus is that the outside is the ikker part of the baguette, that's what the chayyim assumes. Unless the outside is just there, like to make it look nice, it's not really a baguette. It's there for chimum. So I wasn't sure with this poncho, meaning the poncho was made out of plastic. They put the outside; it wasn't a fancy material. The fashion says that it would be chayv. It's a real material that's there to keep it warm. So you would be chayv in such a case. Today, most ponchos are just plastic. They don't make these fancy. I mean, I don't know.
The poncho's four corners. It goes for.
Yeah, the poncho I had four corners. Yeah. You know, in South America, people wear them. Okay. I know somebody who rented on Purim a fancy, Mexican type of poncho with a sombrero. It's called Pasha, you're a pater because it's a talish ula. You're shoel, just for, a day.
If you buy one, you send.
If you bought it, then you eventually have a chayv, yeah.
Even just for farm.
Yeah. And there, tying up one of the corners, if you don't really tie it well, you don't it wouldn't be enough. You'd have to actually, cut it in a circle, in a way that's nicker than a circle. Okay. Hey. Hayula shalosh kanfos asavhen shalosh tzitzis. You had a three-corner garment, like a triangle, and you put three tzitzis on. And then you made a fourth corner, and you put on a fourth thing of tzitzis. Psula, b'shum ta'asev l'mana asu, the pasuk says by tzitzis, you have to make the tzitzis, right? G'dilim ta'asev l'cha. Whereas drasha, ta'asev l'mana asu. So you only had three corners, so though that wasn't chayiv. So then you made a fourth corner later, you have to first have four corners, then put on the four tzitzis on the corners. This actually happened to me. I bought a talis, and I didn't open it up. I saw the size. I knew what I needed. And I just started putting tzitzis on it. And I put on the first, the second. When I got to the third corner, I saw the third corner was connected to the fourth corner. Apparently, they add those pieces of cotton I just mentioned on the corners. So when they were adding them on, the person just kept on sewing. And there was a thread between the third corner and the fourth corner. Just a tiny thread that was essentially attaching those square of cotton. So I was mistopic if that's called a baguette that has three corners. I mean, it's a four-corner baguette. There's just one tiny thread attaching them. So I mean, tzitzis makel. But I asked her, nobody wanted to, be matur, be fair, so I just undid the tzitzis and put them back on. But, the example here is more extreme when you only have three corners. The kind of lie, I had four corners. It just that the baguette was attached. I had the pashtus that should be fine, but I couldn't get anybody to tell me that. So and I didn't see before, so I was mad. Okay. Now this psul of Tazman Asu is only b'shas asiyah. If you had a baguette that has four corners, and then one of the corners ripped off, you can fix it. You can fix it because I think you can fix it because b'shas asiyah it was a baguette of four corners. I'm pretty sure that's all. Vav. Ein kovlin. If a person has a large talis, it's too big, so he'll wear it, he'll double it up, and he'll wear it folded. So where do you put the tzitzis? So can you put the tzitzis on it as when it's folded? If you have it's a long talis, you fold it, can you put the tzitzis on these four corners? Or do you say, no, the tzitzis should be on these four corners, on the external corners. So the Mechaber says you can't just fold it up one on top of the other and put the tzitzis on here because the baguette is really a much bigger baguette. Again, he comes into tzitzis. You have to put on the four extreme corners, and then you wear it. You can fold it up when you wear it. And then came tfura kula. If you sew it, if you fold up a talis and you sew it, so then it's a new baguette. You put it on the four corners as is, meaning this was once a big talis. I folded it, I sewed it. Now I can use it and put the tzitzis on the four new corners. Afilu meruchachet, even if it's sewn on one side. Yishom yitachayim afilu bulot tfira v'tov l'asos la tzitzis avalol l'varech aleh. So the Ramban says something very strange. He says, well, some people say that even if you just fold it, you're still chayiv in these corners, which is odd, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're chayiv on the extreme corners, right? Like these corners. So the Ramban says we don't really do this. Mishmur recommends that it's not really a takana to fold it and to follow the Ramah, because according to the Mechaber, you have to do it on the other corners. So we're machmir, if you want to fold it, you should sew it, and you have a new baguette, now you have new corners, you put them on the new corners. Questions, comments? Nope. The Mechaber paskins that if you put more tzitzis on your tzitzis, you have tzitzis, and you put in more strings, hitil tzitzis al tzitzis. It's kind of the vatel rishona, chotech rishona ksher. If you had intention to get rid of the first ones, you want to get nicer, cleaner, newer tzitzis, so you put them through the hole, then you can cut off the old one. Even if you had commanded to put on more strings, that's Baal Tosif. So then it remains possible because it was done with psul. Okay, so the Ramah wants to say that it's kosher.
So what's the case? The case is where you want to switch one of them?
And instead of cutting off the old ones, you just add in new ones first. So you want to say it's kosher, even if you had kavana to the emosif. Okay. Fine. Zayin. Amalbushim shehem petzuchim shalim lamala hem stumim. So this is like a... it's split at the bottom, but the top is connected. Im ruba sasum, if most of the beged is sasum, is closed, pater. Im ruba patuach chayiv, if most of it is open, you're chayiv. Im chetzi sasum, chetzi pasuach, mitilin oso lechumra, v'chayiv etzitzis. Eishotzim bo b'shabes. There are many of these like tzitzis undershirts that they sell are like this. They basically, it doesn't go up all the way, like regular tzitzis, but they're sewn. They always are makbid to sew it more, less than, meaning the pesach at the bottom is more than halfway. When I say more than halfway, it's more than halfway from the top of the shoulder till the bottom of the baguette. And the Mishabura says the area that your hand goes through also is considered sasum. So it has to go up very high, and then you consider it to be chayiv. If it goes, it's only halfway, it's a safek, you should put it on with without a bracha, you don't say bracha. You don't go out on Shabbos if there's no Erev, because of the fear you're carrying the tzitzis. Like I said, kapota, chasidish kapota, but a litvish kapota, a frog, has that issue. And the minhag ha'olam is that they round the one of the corners to avoid the shayla.
This is
when Machayos
is
8
years
old
on Shabbos, so he's always going to hold carrying tzitzis.
If there's no eruv and you go outside, it'll be a chashash of a masa, because it's like you're carrying the...
If you're not chayiv.
If it were like a beged on Friday night, so it's true, nighttime is not fun tzitzis, but still it's a beged that's chayiv. This is beged maybe pater legamre.
So it's a sovik, so he's
saying sovik, maybe the rest of it. Wear it, but not on Shabbos outside. Yeah. Many suits have this issue. A suit has one flap in the back, so you have two corners in the front and two corners in the back, right? Or really on the sides, depending on the suit. But many suits have this. So usually the front corner is usually rounded, right? On suits, for the most part, the front corners are rounded, but the back, if you have a slit, two slits, they're straight. So if you have one flap in the back, two slits on each side, you have four corners. And yet we don't wear tzitzis because it doesn't go halfway. There's a rabbi in Alon Shvut who like cut up his suit jacket in order to put on tzitzis. I mean, that's not what most people do. The baggage has no slit.
Right.
Okay. Ches. kafa shiptucha b'inin sheyesh la arba kafos im yegbuba shtaringa la sosa kasosuma kdei le potra b'titzis ein amor al tikun ze im lot yekvua mechetzi orka l'mazel l'chol apachos. So if you have to have it, you have a poncho. You don't want to put tzitzis on your poncho. Let's say it's made out of material. So what do? You take a belt and you put it in the middle. That doesn't help. A belt's not going to stop. It's still, if you would tie it permanently and the tie was low below halfway, so then you would be able to pater the baguette because it doesn't go up halfway. I'm not sure if one belt would be enough. Meaning, because let's say you have a belt that goes two-thirds down, you tie a belt, and it's attached. Is that going to pater the whole thing? If it's open on top, open on the bottom, it's just as one little belt in the middle? I'm not sure. I think it has to be more significant. Make it susuma.
He's discussing if it's exactly 51% sasum. 51% sasum isn't enough. It has to be, 60%. It has to be something that's rov nikar leinayim. It shouldn't be a shaila of marizayim. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the halach is. If you just take a belt and attach it to the side of your poncho, I don't think that would pater you, because it's not called sasum, right? Mishabura speaks about a chibur gamur. Like if you have snaps, for example, snaps is not enough. Many people actually have snaps on their tzitzis because it's more comfortable for them. So like those tzitzis that they sell, as undershirts, it goes up rove, but people have snaps. That's still not a chibur. If you have like things that are really difficult to open, then it would be a chibur. Fine. They have to be square. Now, how square is square? It has to be 90 degree angle? Let's say it looks like this. It looks kind of square. So the briskers want it to be like 100% square. But the pashtus is it's not necessarily 100% square. As long as it looks square, you don't need to take a measuring stick. Why not? Because we mentioned before that a baguette with five corners is chayev on the four outmost corners. If you have five corners, likelihood is you're not going to have, exactly 9 degree. So the passage is, as long as it looks square, it's enough. And that's why when they fix the kapota to pater, they have to make sure that it doesn't look square at all. It has to be really look round. It has to really look. Okay, so if you're... It's neves ptura afilu shel arsus amarav. If you have like a kafia or something wearing your head, you're pater. Shneir Hashem mushalkim l'kisfayim begufam. Even though part of it is on your shoulders, afal mishem iskasev arosh v'ruva pater kemesh ikar l'chasas arosh. The ksus chav rachmanav l'ksus arosh. The lucky is a baguette of your body is high. It's not a baguette of your head. So if you have like a turban, and even if it's a long turban that hangs on your body, it's fundamentally a head covering, and therefore it's pater. This is why some people were concerned with the minhag of making an atara. We hold it's nice to make an atara. It makes the tiles look nice. But the concern is maybe that shows that the ikar point is to cover your head. But that's not true. The ikar point is to have a beggar for our body. We want to make the talus look nice. We put tara on the head covering of the talus. But fundamentally, a beged haguf is chayim, and a beged harosh is potter. And that's why a turban is potter, even if it covers part of your body. In the reform synagogue, sometimes the people take the talus and they wear it like a scarf, kind of. Yeah. So that's problematic, because the pashtus has to be a beged of the guf. If you wear even a scarf, is not considered a beged of guf. The pashtus is. Most people don't put on tzitzis on their scarves, presumably because they consider it to be a beged rosh. If David Yosef is a little mistopic about it, he said, well, if it's a big scarf and you really wear it on your body, some people you wear a hat and you wear a scarf. The scarf is not on your head, it's on your lower neck, on your body. So he wonders, maybe it should be chayev. The minhag olam is to assume a scarf is pater. Usually it's not a mashir anyway, but yeah. The Yemenites wear it the same way, but they put it over their body, not over their neck. It's not just over their shoulders, it's over their whole body, and they do that tifa in that way. That's certainly chayiv. The issue I mentioned before is if you'd wear it almost like a scarf. Sometimes, I don't know how it became popular, but they have these like very thin talisim, they're like 20 centimeters long, they just wear it almost like scarves. The problem is that's not chayiv, or at least it's a suffix if it's chayiv, because it's not a beg in a goof, really. It's more like a beg at a rosh.
Okay. Sif Yud Aleph, same idea. Sudash Nosim al Tzavar Malchei Eretz Yisrael Shnikra Ba Rabbi Shid V'chein Buka Nosim Esfar al Kesefayim Pturim. So he says a scarf is Potter. Okay. I mentioned before, maybe some of our scarves are more on our bodies, but the minhag is to assume not that way. Yud Beis Alushim Shevitzayim Shnikraim Gochash V'chein etc. Afal Pishi Yishlehem Dalik Nafayim Pturim. So the Mechaber brings a set of types that have four corners, and they're still potter. We took on how many corners you have in your shirt? 1, 2, 3, 4. Nobody puts tzitzis on their shirts. Why not? So the poets can talk about this in this context here in the Sif. There are different svaras brought. One is that it could be the four corners have to be two in the front, two in the back. Like, you know, we have an atalis and our tzitzis here, the two on the top, two on the bottom, maybe you're potter. That svara doesn't seem to be so, substantiated by the sources. I mean, the Mishmur quotes it, we're not sure exactly where it comes from. It doesn't seem to be halacha rofefes, it's not very clear.
Can you say this also by your neck, nothing to do with your body?
Right, you could say that the collar is really not a garment for your body at all. You're saying, well, it's part of the same garment, meaning the fact that it's no worse than a talis that goes on your head.
Sure, it's fully.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Part
of the shirt. Yeah. So I mean, you could say there are different svaras brought. There are some who suggest that it's better to round one of your corners of your shirts. I don't know anybody who does that. Like I said, there are different understandings of what exactly these examples are. But on the Mechaber, some say they're begadim. They're not worn for comfort, but really for kavod. Some external begad you wear just for kavod, or maybe they would, be dragged on the floor and then the tzitzis are going to break and or get cut. So therefore, it's like not darchi noam to wear such. There's a lot of mechudesh svaras. We're not exactly sure what they are, so it's hard for us to give clear svaras. Lemaisa, the minhag olam, like I said, is to assume that shirts, are patur from tzitzis, even though they're four corners, because. Either the top corners don't really count, or they're not in the front and the back, and therefore you're potter. The Rama here adds on: Fuad din mabushim shel glus binashkam sfarid hoil ve'in kanfeim asuim shiyu shnayim lefneim shnayim achareim chavani mezuka negadu. Like I said, pturim, and this is where the Magen Avraham points out that it's not so clear, where that halacha comes from. Since Eliezer is a tshuva about shirts, he brings a lot of as far as why you're potter. I think he mentioned as far as you mentioned before that the two corners on the top are not lechasos; it's just there like for style. So the corner is a part of the bega that you wear that actually covers you, and this is kind of it's not really nicker. Okay. Sif Yud Aleph, Sivin Yud Aleph, thank you. Dinei Chutei Tzitzis. Chutin Tzarek Shiyu Tivuin Lishma. So I brought here, my wife is into fiber arts. So when you learn at the Shabbos, one of the shearing, and after you shear it, so then you generally wash it. So this is some wool over here, straight from a sheep. This has been sheared and it's been washed. If you'd want to dye it, you do the malacha of soveya. First there's gozes and malabain, where you wash it. And this is like locks from a sheep. It just wasn't dyed because my wife wants to work with the natural fiber, undyed fiber. You could dye it, but either way, if you look here closely, you'll see the dirt. Even after you do libun, there's still like little pieces of dirt. After those malachas, the next malacha is called menapitz. In English, it's called carding. And this is a carder. Essentially, the fiber is very stuck together. You can't really work with it. If you want to make strings out of it, you have to separate it. So if you look here, you see it's kind of like all stuck together. So what you do is you put it on the carder, okay, and then you take the other half of it and the cart, which means in Hebrew menapetz, and you see how the fibers are separating? You can come a little closer if you want.
Yeah.
The fibers are separating. These are fibers that you can work with. he's already, as opposed to this where it's all stuck together, you won't be able to make thread out of this. You can take this and you can start spinning it. Now you don't spin it with your hands. Spinning is called tvi'ah. I have over here, you have, essentially after you finish this, you have things like this. It's essentially pieces, you know, it's already, you can work with this fiber. It's already separated. So this is called, in Lashon HaMikra, a pelach. If anybody you remember in Eish HaSchayil, what do you say about pelach?
Say that word.
We say pelach. You know what you remember Eish
HaSchayil? Yeah.
Start going. Eish HaSchayil Miyimsa. Where's pelach? You're not there yet? Keep on going. Eish HaSchayil is the last parak in Mishlei.
What's it called?
A pelach. In English it's called a spindle. A spindle. This is called a drop spindle. It's called a drop spindle is because the way you work it is that you drop it. You turn it like a drape. You look.
Pelach?
Pelach. Yeah, this is the fibers. How does it go? Yeah, bakishor v'chapeh tamku v'pelach. Or a palach.
Palach.
Okay. This is a pelach or a palach. And this is the fiber. And what you do is that you turn this and you let it drop. And as you turn and let it drop, you pull it up and it makes threads. Now, this is called spinning. But once you have a thread, the thread is very thin. You can't really work with it. What do you have to do? You have to ply it. In Hebrew, it's called shazira, which essentially means you take the thread, you come closer, you make one thread into a number of threads. You see over here, this thread is really a few threads. Yeah. So, you know, it's the expression chuta meshulash, shlo meheri natek. What's chuta meshulash? It means it's plied three times. Our minag, the halacha is you need every one of the tzitzis to be shazer with two threads. Our minag is used eight threads, what's known as kafel shmona, which means that you essentially make two threads out of four threads. You take those two threads and you make them into one thread. So if you look at your tzitzis carefully, each string of tzitzis is really made out of eight threads. Eight threads, which are really two threads, which in each one has four threads. At the very bottom, it sometimes comes undone. Right, this is an issue. If you look here carefully, there are eight threads. It might be a problem. We'll see later. Right, it's probably, for now, it's not a problem. It's eight threads. If you look carefully, there are eight threads at the bottom. You see? It's really kafel shmona. In the Gemara, it only says it has to be kafel shtayim. Some briskers were concerned. No, it's fine. Some briskers were concerned that if it's kafel shmona, it's a shalav al tosif. That's not the accepted halacha. But these are the malachas. So let's just talk for a minute, getting back to the Shulchan Aruch. What is the Shulchan Aruch fasting? Shulchan Aruch says, which malacha needs to be done lishma? Which is after lishma? Which of these malachos? You don't have to be gozis lishma, you don't have to be malavin lishma, you don't do tzvi at all, you just keep it white. There's minapet and tfiya and shazira. Those are the malachas that we're discussing. So the Mechaber Paskin, Sivalech, Achutin, Shtarik, Shiyu, Tivuyin, Lishman. That means when you take the spindle, you have to do this, L'shem Tzitzis. You can't have a guy do it, we'll see soon. It's done L'shem Tzitzis. Today they usually do it with machines, although there's a whole discussion that we'll see soon. It really depends. You know, people are mahadir not to use machines. So, you know, just like by matzahs, there's a chumrah, you know, because you press the button, lishma, is that enough? Maybe you have to do it b'yad. So many people are mahadir to have avodas yad. Avodas yad, even avodas yad, they don't use this. This is like they use in the time of the Tanakh. They use a spinning wheel. A spinning wheel, you can use your feet, but it's on a machine, you know, but this is like the real old-fashioned a spindle, drop spindle. In any case, so the Mechaber Paskin, Chuzit Shirek Shiyu Shazur Tavuin Lishman, V'yesh Machmir Afilu Napsan Lishman. Some say you have to do this. The Niputz has to be done Lishma. V'aminag Lahakel V'Niputz. Says the Ramah, the Minag Lahakel. The Mishabur brings down that there are Achronim who I think they should be Machmir for Niputz. The
The new point is to brushes to try to get the strings separate.
Starting to make the string, yeah. You're starting to separate the fibers in order to be able to make the strings. You can't make the strings straight up. If you take a piece of wool like this, it's just too bunched together. The Shulchan Aruch is about nefesh b'machmer, and the Mishmur says b'machmer l'chatchila. The minhag is not that way. They do sell niputz l'shma tzitzis. They're about three times the price of regular tzitzis. There were some gedolim who were against it when they started making it, like in the '70s. They offered it to the stipler, and he was like, "No, it's not necessary." You know, the Rama says the minhag is to be mekel, and apparently he was concerned that it was going to just cost a lot of money. It's like a new thing, a chumrah that's really expensive. And next thing you know, apparently I heard that was one of the rationales that Rabbi Yashiv was against. Tcheles, although it's a totally different cheshbon, that may be a mitzvah, not just a chumrah. But apparently, when they came to him, this is what Shachter likes to say, although it doesn't appear in his tshuva, that he said how much it's going to cost, and he was concerned that it would be just too expensive. It's a harder cheshbon to make when it comes to a mitzvah. It's an easier cheshbon when it comes to a chumrah. In any case, they sell tzitzis have nipus lishma. The Mishaburi recommends it, but the minhag is to be mekel and to buy tzitzis that have tefillah lishma. Now, I mentioned that many are mahadir to have tfiyah be avodas yad, not avodas mechona. Although, maker din, we assume that even avodat mechona is also a kasher. Now, who can make this? A Jew has to make it. The Mishpura says the Jew could be an avarian as long as he does the averos l'teava, meaning a person, unless he doesn't wear tzitzis. He can still make tzitzis because he fundamentally believes. But if a person is a kofar, he doesn't believe, then he's pasul. So we try to have from Jews making it. Even if a Jew isn't from, as long as he's just over the averos l'teava, and he's still kosher to make the tzitzis. Fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yom Rishila, you should say at the beginning, the channel was by all things in the Lishma. Does it so far to say, or does it have to say he's thinking? So we are machmir the chatchila that he should say that he's doing it Lishma. Shiyom al Isha, tfili b'tzitzis, tzitzis, you can tell a woman. Also, v'imlohayu tvin Lishma and psulin. If they're not tvin Lishma, they're psulin. So if you just go to the store and buy regular strings, they're pasul because they weren't made Lishma. In addition to the tfiya, you also have to do the shazira. The plying also has to be on Lishma. Right? Okay.
So, yeah. A woman could do it?
A woman can make the tzitzis. We're machmer, we'll see later, that she shouldn't tie them onto the begit. That's Rabbeinu Tam, is a chumrah. So why Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's only a issue in tying the tzitzis, not in making the strings, is an interesting question, but that's the accepted halacha, that women...
It's also shadowed by other things that they're not high for.
Right, Rabbeinu Tam says that she shouldn't make, shouldn't tie the lulav. There's a discussion of a sukkah. Yeah, in a chanaim, for Rabbeinu Tam. That's a chumrah. Okay. Fine. In Sif Beis, the Mechaber speaks about a goy. Tavan goy b'Yisrael omed al gabav. A goy is doing it, but Yisrael is saying, do it l'shem tzitzis. Is that enough? Shiyom ha'as Yisrael, the Ram apostle, the Rosh Kashas, because we've shown him, does God omed al gabav work in this case? If it's no hagin, she says so maat kedi isul kaman over yeredaya avei tefillin. Okay, so the mechaber paskin, so he brings both dayas. Can a goy do it with Yisrael Amel Gabo? We try to avoid this. The maker din, we hold if you need to, we hold like the Rosh Ashkenazim or Mach, make it like the Rosh that a goy could do it with Yisrael Amel Gabov. The idea of Messiah doesn't really help, meaning. For the Rambam, it's not going to help. For the Rambam, it's still possible because Maseiim Amamish. But our minhag is that we have got a little Melgav and we do a little of Siwa. But I said today, I don't think it's done. I think today all tzitzis are made by from Jews.
Is this talking about making them or just
making the threads? Making the threads. The what's known as spinning the wool. Okay. The Mechaber continues, as I mentioned before, tzvik and shazira. You have to take the two plied strings and put the two strings and ply them and make them into one. She was shazura and lishma, and you do that lishma. Okay. Gimel. Im nispakim shazirasam and asu shisha asar ksherim.
So in once upon a time, all tzitzis were really two tzitzis, not like us. For us, each one is eight. But once upon a time, each one was 10, it's become 16. They're just still kosher. So you mentioned before that the end of your tzitzis are coming up. The reason it's not a problem is because it didn't go all the way to the top. You still have, from the knot, the bottom knot, you have still a kadei aniva, say, you know, amounts that would go around your finger. So therefore, even if it was cut, the tzitzis would be fine. The fact that they're undone, it's no worse than being cut. If it went all the way up, that would be an issue. That would be potentially an issue. We'll have to see soon. In Simon Yud Beis, the whole halacha, what is halacha when tzitzis get cut, when the strings get cut. Maybe it's only a problem if more than one string gets cut. We'll see. We'll see soon. Now, the Be'er Halacha discusses the question of Bal Tosif. It says, fine, nicha, that the tzitzis are kosher because it's no worse than it was cut. But maybe it is worse, because maybe it's a shayla of Bal Tosif. Instead of having 8 strings, I'm having now 16 strings, or having more strings. So he recommends, the Be'er Halacha Damascus Vinasu, that you should kind of declare that you're not interested in that later part. You should kind of say that whatever is left at the bottom, you're not interested. And therefore, it won't be a shayla of Bal Tosif. Bal Tosif only when you have kavana to be mosif limits. But here, you'd rather it wasn't there. And that would be a way of, you know, getting rid of this shayla of Bal Tosif. But it's not clear if it's actually necessary. You can also cut them. Meaning, theoretically, what you could do is just the part that comes undone, you could just decide to cut them. The Ramah recommends, in order to avoid this issue, ever see people with like knots at the bottom of their scissors? The reason people make knots at the bottom of scissors is for this reason. Because they sometimes get undone and you don't want to get them undone. It doesn't look as nice. There's maybe a shayla of altosi potentially. So if you knot them, you solve that problem. Now some people think that knotting is a problem. Why is knotting a problem? Because of altosi of the knots. That's a chiddush. Because the halacha is that really in that Torah, you need kesher elyon. Kesher elyon either means the kesher right above the first round of Kol Yosor, right under it, but we do lots of knots, right? We do 5 sets of knots, 5 sets of double knots, you know, people to wear just lava. So it's a chiddush to say there's a problem of more knots. It's not really, but okay. Lamaisa, most of us get good quality tzitzis, so they don't usually open up. If they open up, you can make a knot, you can cut it off, you could do neither, but say you're mevatel it, that you don't want it to be there, and there's no shayla bal tosif, or you can just leave it. Some have a claim that maybe instead of making a knot, because you're worried about this bal tosif, maybe you should like put a little bit of glue on it or something. You put like, you know, nail polish on it, and it's. And others argue and say, oh, it's a problem, it's considered shazur, it's considered as if it's like one thing. I don't know about this. I think whatever you do is fine. I personally don't knot my tzitzis because the tzitzis we have are good quality. You know, occasionally they open up. If they open up, I just have kavana that one time I say I don't want that to be there. If you start cutting them, you're going to get sticky because if you cut them, they can start to unravel more. But it depends.
Do you use anything to cut them?
There's also a minhag maybe not to use metal to cut them.
What's the reason for that again?
It seems like it's connected to the fact that, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, the
life.
Right, the Mizbeach, you can't know the Sunday fell of Barzel, so maybe it's likewise, you don't want to have, you know, metal on your tzitzis. I'm not exactly sure. But bigger than you can cut it, you know, with metal as well. Mishmura in Yud Ches, his mat brings this chumrah of not. And not knotting them. Chaznisha says it's mutter to knot them. Just a second. Okay. Dalit. Orach achutim. Shmoda. Eid polkos vidalit go dalit. The tzitzis have to be 4 thumbs long. Some say 12 thumbs. It could be longer than that. There's no problem if it's too long or longer than that. You can cut them. You're allowed to cut them, as we discussed. Now, there is a machlokas what exactly the shear of a godal is. Famous machlokas Chazanish and Chaim Noah in terms of the shiurim. So according to Chaim Noah, it's 2 centimeters. According to Chazanish, it's like 2.4, like almost 2.5 centimeters. So if you need 12 gudalin, so according to Rav Chaim Noe, it's 24 centimeters. And according to the Chazanish, it's close to 30 centimeters. Now, like I said, there is a two days here if you need 4 gudalim or 12 gudalim, but let's assume we take the more machmer shear. Basically, this shear is after the tzarei tied, meaning when before they're tied, they're very long. When you tie it and you spin it, you do the chulios, it takes the ma'itam of the shear. Usually the minhag is to have one long string that's known as a shamish, and you do the chulios with that. Sometimes it's not long enough. There's no chiyuv to dafka use that one for the chulios. If you see that one's getting too short, then you're going to use a different one to do some of the string around. Now, if whether or not you should be mocking for the bigger shear, so there is a pretty accepted psak that when it comes to dim drabanan, people are machmir for the chaznish. When it comes to dim drabanan, they're making like the Rav Chaim Noe. It's not accepted. You know, many people are just make it. Many people are always machmir. But there is a shita out there that when it comes to, for example, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, it speaks about Kiddush Friday night. It says you should have a bigger shear because it's Doraisa. So the Doraisa is, we'll make a bigger shear. It's not exactly the same issue, but it's the same question in general. You know, what should you be machmir for shear? So some people argue that since this is a din d'oraisa, you know, where he sits is, you should take the bigger shear. It's not so clear, because it could be the need for these godalim is only a din d'rabanan. So even though the mitzvah is d'oraisa, it could be the need for this shear is only a din d'rabanan. But like I said, most people are machmir to have, you know, at least 24, try to have 30 centimeter tzitzis to be choshish v'chazanish, although, you know, if you want to be mekel, there's certainly room to be mekel as well. The Mishnah Berurah, yeah.
And so you were saying how usually one is longer,
right,
than another one. So let's say if you're cutting it, should you keep one longer?
No, the one is longer before you tie it. Before you tie it, one is longer because you need that one to.
But afterwards,
many times they're not exactly even. You don't need to cut them. Some people like them even. If you want them even, you can cut them. But there's no need to cut.
But it's okay if they're even.
Yeah. That's just like an eitza in order to tell you how to. So again, some people hold this ma'akev, at least midrabanan. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like that. It's possibly midrabanan if it's not the shear of yud beis godlin. The Mishnah Berurah, the Meir Halacha says, if you have nothing else, you should wear it, but don't say a bracha. It sounds like mikra din midrais, so we hold you could wear it. You're not in vatal essay. The Chazanish though thinks that dalet godlin is the ikar. Really, only dalet, as long as it's dalet godlin, is enough. Not the shear of yud beis godlin. So there's a machlokas lemaisa. I think the video says you can say a bracha when it's dalet godlin, and the others say that no, you shouldn't say a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't say a bracha unless it's yud beis godlin. Most of our tzitzis are that shear. Meaning the ones they make them on purpose to have that shear. The Chazanish shear.
Do you mention anything about how thick they have to be?
There's no shear to how thick they can be. They can be thick, they can be thin. They should look nice. Many people on their talus cuddle, they have them thicker, and on their talus cuddle, they have them thinner. It's just proportionate to the bag.
Kind of,
yeah. Is the shear after it falls in the bag. There's a hole, so it's attached. The shear starts over here. After it's on the bag, it doesn't count. I guess if you have chassidish and tzitzis, have two holes, so then it starts right away, because it's, you know. Okay. Oh. Okay. We'll get to that soon. Here's the show.
We'll get to
Okay. Right. Fine. Let's move on to Zefei.
Ein osim zizis mitzemer hanechas bekotzim shatzon rovson behen v'lom animin hanitlashim mebehema v'lom yishuar si sha'oreg mishayir b'sof ha'beged v'tam yishum bizu mitzvah. You don't want to do the mitzvah with some leftover, you know, gross wool that it was like, you know, it was, so it has to be a nice wool. Okay. V'masam mitzemer gazol p'sol, and if you stole the wool it's possible. T'chsiv asu lahem v'shal lahem is p'sol. If the tzemer was gazel, says the Rebbe, "V'dafka shegazel nachut, but in gazel tzemer, asan chutin ksherim." There's a shino. If you stole the wool, if you steal the wool, then you make tzitzis out of it, then you're okay. I mean, it's not recommended. Milachatchila also la'asos. Okay. Then a bracha. It's a shayla. We can say a bracha on it. Okay. Not so relevant. Mishmur says that if you buy tzitzis on credit, the Rabbi wants just the money, and you're not paying him, so he thinks it's a shayla. It's a problem, Mishalim. It's not yours, because he doesn't want to give it to you. He wants his money. If you buy with a credit card, it's not an issue, because a credit card, you know, he's getting the money from the company. It's not meaning you paid. I mean, again, maybe there's some brewskers who want to, like, offer to buy with cash, you know, but Chara, if you buy with a credit card, you bring it to your house, so, you know, Bikini Chatzer, you know, you're fine. Fine. Zayin. Chudin she'ulin halov she'ulin halov halvahi v'zlo hadri v'nayu dukelidei dami. If you borrow strings and you're planning on giving back other strings, that's okay. They gave them to you, you're going to return other strings. If you want those strings, that would be a problem. It's not yours. But l'chara, even if you want those strings, if you, the person knows that you want to do the mitzvah with them. Like, for example, if I borrow your talis. So I can't say a bracha on a talis ula. But you have das to give it to me as a hakna, matana al masna achsir, just like my lulav, because I know it has to be mine. So same thing with you borrow strings. If I borrow strings and you want them back, l'chara, you're lending it to me for the mitzvah. So it's partial that you want it on matana al masna achsir. So mainly you can still say a bracha in that case. The day dami. Okay. Ches. It's not so practical. Mishtachavel, v'heima tzamra posel tzitzis. If a person bowed down to a sheep, so the tzemer is posel. This is shayla here. Is only the tzemer on it. What about the tzemer that grows after? Mishtachavel pishta natua kasha tzitzis sheri nishtana. If you bow down to pishta that was in the ground, attached to the ground, when you cut it, it's really a new thing, and it's not going to be usher. Again, you know, we say all this is theoretical, but then, you know, they have a shaitel shayla, the shaitel from India, and, you know, is it really a bazaar? Not a bazaar. So I say this is all theoretical, but who knows? They may start importing, you know, wool from somewhere where they worship sheep, and then, you know, it'll be halacha l'maisa. Okay. Tess. Tess. Yasa negav ora katalis v'lul malam gimel etzbos hainu gudolin v'teisha eino nigra knaf v'lomata v'kshir sh'yesh kesher gudol al tzipora n'yishum sh'nema al knaf v'im haya lomata v'imlo kesher gudol ha'reitze tachas ha'knaf v'odin zev yosha v'lo akson. Okay, it's important halacha. When you make the hole, it's really more important than people make the begging. When you make the hole has to be in a specific place. This is the corner. It has to be, as the Mechaber says, less than 3 gudolin up. So according to the Chaim Noach, a gudol is 2 centimeters. It has to be less than 6 centimeters. According to the Chazon Ish, it's like 2 and 2.4, so it has to be less than 7.2. Why? Because it has to be on the knaf. It can't be on the beged, it has to be on the knaf. But if it's too low, let's say you make it over here. So if you make it over here, it's possible. Why? Because this is mi'ala kanaf. It's the begging. If you make it over here, it's possible. Why is it possible? Al kanaf velo mi tachat la kanaf. It's too low. So how low is too low? So the shear is kasher gudal from this part of your thumb till the end of the nail. So once upon a time, this was an issue that in the talis katans they made the. If you want to be yotze both deyas, so it seems to be it's best to have it between, let's say, 4.5 centimeters up. Once upon a time, since it's bigger talis, they would put it really high up, like 7 centimeters up, and a talis katan it would be like 3 centimeters, like pretty low. Akshar Dara, now the Ashkachas, you know, tell you that they put the hole in the right place. For a while there was a business added this. There was a lady in Ezra's Torah who was making tzitzis. They're exactly the right place, I guess they call it days. A Brisker family. I'm a little bit confused because they say that the Chazon Ish held that you should make it at 4.5 centimeters up. But it's unclear to me. I thought it was closer to 5. For the Chazon Ish, between 5 and 6 would be better. But the minute of the Brisker is to 4.5 and 5.5. That's where they make the hole, try to be Yotze, call it deus, cover all the shittas. Fine. The Mechaber continues. Im haya rochav knaf lo kasher gudol nitku mechute arev ad shel nisha vokishir kasher kevin she haya vokishir b'shah shehito vatzitzis. For halacha, if it was in the right place when you made it, and then this got cut, so it was right over here. This got cut. Or what happens more commonly is that the tzitzis are pulled on, and like the hole gets bigger. So if the hole gets bigger, the hole was right, exactly the right place, 4.5 centimeters, let's say. You got pulled down to 3 centimeters. So it's still kosher. Why is it still kosher? Because it was in the right place originally. Okay. You know, I can ask this, Imra Savi Vanekev Shalinatek Sham V'ye Pachas V'shir. The main idea is, if you look at your tzitzis, you have around the hole a little threads, right? So look at your tzitzis. See the corner? There's around the hole, they sew with threads to strengthen the hole so it shouldn't move. Really, if it moved, it's still kosher if it got pulled down. But in order to avoid that, the minhag is to sew around the hole to strengthen it. V'chein osin imra b'sfas ha-begid l'mata. Many begadim at the bottom, at the corner, they also strengthen it in order that it shouldn't get ripped. Yesh omrim she betoch rochav habeged ein lo shiur, v'yesh omrim she din rochav habeged kedin orach v'nirin dvar. This is the beged. Looking up, this is the person's head. This is the beged. So this is called orach. This direction is called rochav. So it has to be high enough. Does it have to be close enough to the edge in this way? So there's 2 days in the mechaber, and we hold that it should be the shiur both in orach and in rochav. And that's why, if you look at your tzitzis, on either side, it's orach. You know, from the side of the beged, it's also in 5 centimeters, not.
It makes a difference if it's, so let's say it started like this, the perfect,
yeah.
Then by accident you close the door and it opens up more.
It's fine.
So as long as, because it started.
Yeah, it was made bekashrus, it's fine. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. Okay, so Rabbi Chaim recommends that din rochav habeged kedin orach v'nirin divrei. I don't think we're able to finish this today, so let's call it a day. Pick up next week.